Okay, we're here too. This is an unusual situation for us. Normally, I don't allow dogs in my shir. And we're here in a Beit Avel. So our shir should be Lezecher Nishmat Chaim Ben
Avraham Baruch.
Avraham Baruch. And his neshama should be Zocher to Anelia from the things that we learned today, and from the hopefully the inspiration that we gain from each other and from the Torah that we learned. So I just want to start by sharing with you a story that I heard yesterday. It just so happened that in my work, so I work at Mechlat Orot Yisrael, and the staff has one staff day where they bring us all to a place. So it just so happened that yesterday they brought us to Hebron, and we had the meetings, and then the second half of the day was a tiyul in Hebron, and you couldn't really see much of it. We went to Maran Machpela and David Mincha. And for those of you who are Mashir on Rosh Hashanah, you know that I've been sort of I wouldn't say infatuated, but very much taken by the Akedah. It's a very central theme, and I spoke about it on Rosh Hashanah. This idea of the Akedah and the Zechut Avot has been on my mind quite a bit recently. So the idea of being in Maran Machpela and davening Mincha there was just very meaningful to me. And very powerful. Just so you should also know that in the Slichot, it's the Akedah, if you notice, in the davening, is we mention the Akedah over and over again, and there's actually a Slicha, and Slichot every morning, there was a Slicha called Akedah, that mentions the Akedah. So every morning, in a Seder Tamei Teshuva, there's a special pizmon, a special poetry that we recite to commemorate the Akedah. So it's a very important, it's a very important theme, this idea of sacrifice, and we'll see self-sacrifice in a sense also, during this time of Aseret Yemei Teshuvah. And so this is on my mind. And then we went on this tour. And on the tiyul, they took us to it was a different group. So the group that I went with first went to the Beit HaKvarot, the old Beit HaKvarot in Hebron. Have any of you been to old Beit HaKvarot in Hebron? So the old Beit HaKvarot in Hebron, before 1967, when they came back in 67, it was destroyed. It was a field. They were using it as a field. And they didn't actually even know where the Beit HaKvarot was. And they only had an idea, and they used maps to try to figure out where the Beit HaKvarot was. And it just, as you well know, you can imagine, it was a group of people that were just dedicated to living in Hebron, living in near Maran HaMachpela. And it wasn't actually with the government's wholehearted support. Because the government decided after 1967, even though we'd had control, it gave back the control of these holy places to, the Waqf or whatever, what have you. Gave away. Yeah, you can, whatever. It gave away the control of these holy places. There's a lot more to say. Crazy stories. Anyway, so, you couldn't do very simple things at Maran HaMachpela. At first, you weren't even allowed to daven in Maran HaMachpela, very much like Har HaBayit today. You weren't allowed to sit down. You weren't allowed to... You know what I'm saying? Why? Because it's going to create an international incident, and we don't only want to create international incidents in these places. So one of the things you certainly were not allowed to do was have a Brit Milah. Okay? You're just, no way. But of course, the meaning of having a Brit Milah in this place of Avraham Avinu was very powerful and very meaningful. So there was a family. It was named the Nachshon family. And the parents were Avraham and Sarah and Baruch Nachshon. They had a baby boy. The baby was born in Hebron. So they decided they were going to break the law, literally break Israeli law, and they had a Brit Milah in Maran HaMachpela, and they named their son Avraham Yedidya. And this tour guide told us that it was an incident. It was a real incident at the time when the baby was born, because the Rosh Ir or the head of the authority came and he said he spilled out the wine. It was a whole thing, but they said they wanted to have their baby, the Brit Milah, and they named the baby Avraham Yedidya. And so as the story went, it was a little bit tragic. He said a few months later, the mother came to check on the baby, and the baby had died. For whatever reason, the baby did not survive. So this mother decided, she said, I'm burying my child in Hebron. My baby was born in Hebron, he had his Brit Milah in Hebron, I'm going to bury my child in Hebron. And the government was like, no way, absolutely not. Because, again, as things are, international incident, we don't want to establish, we don't want to whatever. And the Chevra Kedisha came and they tried to convince her, and she was like, Meshuga the Davar. She said, no, I'm burying my child in Hebron. And they said, well, you can't do it, it's illegal, it's against the law. And so when the Chevra Kedisha came and the time for the funeral came, this mother was like, you know, she wasn't going to compromise. It wasn't an issue for her. And so the army came, you know, like, and they set up this kind of like roadblock, because you have to get from, as you know, where you have to get from Meharat HaMachpelah to, like, up through these windy streets of the old city, and you're really like going up a hill, and then the cemetery is on the left-hand side. And so the army was there to block her, and they're driving along, and they're like, they have to stop because of the army. And this mother, you know, you can imagine, says, I'm going. And she literally took her child's body in her arms, and she starts to walk. And she says, if you want to stop me, you're going to have to stop me. And like, come on, so like, they, you know. So they were all crying, and they didn't know what to do. So the soldiers let her go by. And once they let her go by, then they said, let everybody go. So they all went up to this old cemetery. And they knew where the boundaries of the cemetery were, but there were no graves, no markings, no nothing. And so they got up to this Beit Farot, and he's telling us this story, this person, he's, I think, the head of the Midrasha in Shiloh, in Hebron, I don't remember his name. And he tells the story, he says, we're all there, and we're all crying, and it's terrible. And she says, I want you all to know, why am I so stubborn about this issue? He said, because we have the right to this place, because Abraham buried Sarah in this place, in this city, in this town. That's our Nachala. And we're going to return to this place, because I, Sarah, am burying my son Abraham in this place. Mm-hmm. And that's what they did. And so I took a picture of this kever. And you go and you see the kever is almost like in the corner, because they didn't know where any of the other graves were. They hadn't done any digging. They hadn't found anything yet. And so I took a picture. And of this kever, you can see it like this. And he says, the baby was Abraham Yedidya ben Sarah ve, what did it say, Baruch Nachshon. And she just had this feeling like this is what we have to do. And in the end, she was right, because of that, they all decided, there was a person there who said, this can't be. We have to map out. And then they found the old Kvarim from the massacres in 1929. And now there's a whole old cemetery there. It's I wouldn't say it's built up, but this is her Mesirut Nefesh. And here you have a person, I was so moved by this story, because here you have this person who, in her own way, she was not willing to compromise. Every roadblock in the world is in her way, but she knows, this is what I have to do. And she did what was right. She did that looking in hindsight, you know, because somebody had the guts to say, no, we're doing a Brit Milah in Maran HaMachpelah, that's why we can dive in there now. Because if nobody would have done that today, you still wouldn't be able to have a Brit Milah in Maran HaMachpelah or daven there or do any of the things that we do. You know, but it's that sense of determination and steadfastness, and this is the right thing, that's what I'm going to do. That's so important, that's so critical. And so I thought about, you know, like, have you ever been to these tours in Hebron? You ever been to, like, the old city? You sat there? So, of course, you, like, wonder, like, it's scary, in a sense, because you're there, and there's, like, a gazillion Arabs there, and, like, every 100 meters, there's a soldier. These poor soldiers are unbelievable, these kids. They're there, you know what I'm saying? They're on their post. And so, like, you go up, right in the middle of this, you know, Arab city, basically, is this enclave in the old area of Hebron, is this enclave of 18 families. And you see there's a bunch of kids there playing, you know what I'm saying? And you say to yourself, wow, these people are crazy. That's really what you think to yourself. What? You went there, right there? And on the one hand, like, you get a little scared, but I don't usually get concerned about these things, mostly because the army guys are there. But then I realized, they're no more crazy to me as I am to all my neighbors or all my friends or all my relatives who are living in the United States. You know, when the rockets started falling on Sderot, and, you know, we're in the area, without a doubt, all of our neighbors said, you guys are nuts. What are you doing living there? So crazy is all a question of perspective and who's asking the question and who's doing what they know to be the right thing, if you understand what I'm saying. And that's something I want to talk about today in the context of this idea of doing what you know is right, even though you don't know that it's right. And that being an essential element of what tshuva is. So I'm going to start with, this is a piece of a Shabbat tshuva drasha I gave my last year. Because, you know, I used to give speeches and people didn't know what I was, like, where I was going, but I would give speeches, I would give talks for myself. Because as you might know, the year before you make Aliyah, once you've decided you're going to make Aliyah, like, you're nuts. It's just, like you walk around thinking, how's this going to work? I must be crazy. So I would give myself, like, pep talks and not really tell people what I was you know, talking, that I was really talking to myself. So the last year, so I spoke about this idea. There's a very famous idea, there's a saying from, was it from? From Rav Zusha of Anapoli. He says, you want to do tshuva? He says, this is very easy to do tshuva. He says, you need Rosh Tevos. Rosh Tevos, right? Take the first letter of first word, take the letters of tshuva, and you're going to, all you have to do is these five things that they represent, and tshuva is easy. So what does tshuva represent? So he says the following, the taf of tshuva is, tamim tiyah im Hashem Elokecha. Tamim tiyah, be tamim, be pure. And today we're going to talk about what that means. I'll just tell you what the rest of them are. Shin shiviti Hashem lenegdi tamim. Hashem is always before me. Vav ve'ahavta l'rayecha kamocha. Then we know what that means. Bet b'chol drachecha da'ehu. Know Hashem in all of His ways, in all your ways. And heis hikol nikrat elohecha Yisrael. Prepare yourself to greet Hashem. So zut tshuva, all you need are those five things. Well, they seem like they're pretty involved. So today I want to talk about what does it mean, tamim tiyeh? What? Just those five things. And you're all set. Right. So what does it mean, tamim tiyeh im Hashem elokecha? That's what we're going to talk about today. So I see you brought chamishachum sheitarad just because you had no idea where I was going. That's smart. So today, so if you have a dvarim, there's a couple behind you. We're going to start with dvarim because the idea of tamim tiyeh im Hashem elokecha starts in dvarim. Anybody else read Bereishit? Somebody brought all five books because you had no idea which one it was. Okay, it's in Dvarim Perek Yudche. Dvarim Perek Yudche, Pasuk Aleph. You know, we have a bunch of Dvarim, so.
There's more.
There's that good set that I recommended. Okay. Dvarim Perek Yudche, chapter 18, Pasuk Aleph. Chapter 18, verse 1. Says the Torah. Okay, when you come to the land that Hashem your God gives to you, you see where I am? Not yet. Divine Yudchet, Yudchet, Perek Yudchet, Pasuk Aleph. Chapter 18, verse 1. Divine Yudchet, Aleph. You see it? Yudchet. It's in Parsha Shoftim. Kiyata. You got it? I'm sorry. Tet. Yud Chet. Tet. My bad. You're all wondering, what is he talking about? Yeah. It starts with the word ki. Now you got it?
Yeah.
All right, we're all on the same page now. Ki ata ba la'aretz asher Hashem elokecha noten lach. For you are coming to the land which Hashem your God will give you. Lo tilmad la'asot ketoavot ha'goyim ha'hem. Do not learn to do like the abominations of those nations. Lo yimatzei b'cha ma'avir b'no u'bito ba'ish. Don't pass your children through fire. Kosem k'samim. Or use divinations. Me'onen a soothsayer. Me'anachesh u'mechashif. Or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer. V'chover chaver v'sho'el o v'yidoni v'dar'esh el ametim. Nor should you use any mediums, or be a wizard, or a necromancer. Dar'esh el ametim. Okay? There's all these kinds of sorcery, wizardry, all these kinds of different Kochot, powers that I believe do exist, okay? Dark forces. You know, think of all the Harry Potter things, okay? Don't do those. Why? Ki to'avat Hashem kol esteile. These are the abominations of God. Ubiglal ha'to'evot ha'ele, Hashem elokecha morish otcha otam mipanecha. Because of these to'avot, because of these abominations, God is driving them out from before you. They do, the goyim, these nations, do these abominations. You shall not do these abominations. Rather, you should follow and believe in Hashem. And the last pasuk, tamim tihyeh im Hashem elokecha. Okay, you shall be tamim. What does tamim mean? Tam. This is it's a critical word. What does it mean to be tamim? This is what we're going to talk about. Tamim tihyeh im Hashem elokecha. Pure.
Straight.
Naive. Why are you saying naive? That's tam.
Yeah, was it not the same?
Or maybe we misinterpret what tam is. You know what I'm saying? That's true. You're right. But we always say tam ahu omer mazot. So is that a simple question, or is that a straight question?
Well, I mean, maybe naive is the wrong side, but there was sort of a simplicity, this sort of like
Okay.
Innocent or
innocent.
It's more of a untainted, maybe.
Good. What does tam usually mean? Tamim. What does tam usually mean? We say pure.
But tahor is pure.
Tahor is pure. So what is tam? Tamim. Simple. No, no. It's good. It's pure context. The Torah says, right? Set tamim. You bring a set tamim. What does tamim mean? Tam. Perfect. Meaning, right? What's tam said? Non-blemished. Tam. Tamim usually means unblemished. So Hashem says, Tamim tiyah im Hashem elokecha. So what in the world does it mean that you're supposed to be Tamim? So those of you who have Rashi, you should look at Rashi for a second. We're going to do Rashi and the Ramban, and then we're going to go to Bereishit. So just so you know, so we'll pull out the Bereishit. Okay, look at Rashi. It says, what does Rashi say? Hitalech imo, because it has to be Tamim, Tamim in this context. Hitalech imo, walk with God, bitimimut. That's great. You know, what does it mean to be Tamim? To be tamim, you're not supposed to define things with, with that sound definition. What does it mean to be round? It's a circle. Thank you very much. Okay. What does it mean? Be tamimut utitzapelo. To expect God. V'lo tachkor achar ha'atidot. Do not delve into the future. Lachkor. Do not, research into the future. Ko ela kol ma shiavo alecha. But rather, everything that comes upon you, kabel bitmimut, accept with wholeheartedness. Va'az tihiye imo lechalko, and then you will be with God and with His portion. Why do they go to necromancers? Why do they go to Doresh al Hamitim? Why do you go to the witch, or the wizard, or the horoscope? Like, why do you look in your horoscope? What's going to happen? What's going to be? How do I prepare? What's going to be in the future? Says the Torah. Tamim tia im Hashem Elokecha. You have no idea. And not only don't you know, don't try to know. Don't want to know. Right? Have faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tamim tia im Hashem Elokecha. Be pure. It's a natural, instinctive desire to know the future. You know, I mentioned, when you're preparing for this jarring change, I'm sure this is not unique to me. This is unique to all of us, except for Yael, who never had this challenge of Aliyah. Right? When you're preparing, you have just unbelievable. I don't know, maybe you didn't. I had this unbelievable, overarching anxiety about what was going to be. Before the year, before you make Aliyah. Mostly because people walk around saying, so, are you going to make a living? So, are you going to make a living? How are you going to make a living? How are you going to make a living? Right, thank you. Appreciate that.
Just came young enough that they just
there you go.
Like
right. My favorite
question was, what are you going to do about your
Ruchnias? Really? I never got that one.
I got that one.
They should come here. You got that? Really? From where? Passaic?
Atlanta.
Okay. There you go. What's going to be? You know what the answer is? Tamim tiyay Mashem Elokecha. The answer is, you don't know what's going to be, nor are you responsible to know what's going to be. But what are you responsible to do? What you're supposed to do. You're supposed to do the right thing. You're supposed to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to do. What's going to be? That's not your problem. That's why I mentioned these people who live in Hebron. You know, what's going to be? How are they going to, we heard about Dov Lior. Dov Lior is he's a very well-known figure. He's a Rosh Yeshiva Hebron. He's a head of the Rabbanut in our Kiryat Arba. And he says, let me tell you one thing I can tell you for sure about the Arab-Israeli conflict. He says, there is no solution. We don't see a solution. And anybody who says they can solve the problem is wrong. It's so true. I'm really not a tremendous right winger as much as other people are. And this is not a political shiur. But there's a tamimut in saying we do what we're supposed to do. And I don't know how it's supposed to end up, and I'm not supposed to solve all the problems. I'm supposed to do what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to do what the Rosh Hashanah wants me to do. And if I do it, that's all I can do. What's going to be? What are you going to do with all this? And how are you going to solve this problem? How are you going to solve that problem? You're right, they're problems. I don't deny that they're problems. But it's not my responsibility to solve it. I must look in the future. And I think that's part of the problem in which, in the society in which we live, And I think that's part of the problem, you know, with the UN and America and all that. They think that they're supposed to solve all the problems. And I understand why they want to solve the problem. People want to see a resolution to a conflict. Makes sense. But that's not my responsibility. My responsibility is to do what I'm supposed to do, to be Tamim. When do we do the Ramban? If you have the Ramban, those of you who have the Ramban on Tamim Tiyah, on Pasuk Yud Gimel. And this, I think, is a struggle, and I think something to strive for when it comes to tshuva. Says the Ramban, Tam Tamim Tiyah im Hashem Elokecha. We should focus our hearts. You should simplify, liyached, unify our hearts to God. V'na'amin shehu levado oseh kol. We believe that He alone does all. Hu yodeh amitat kol atid. He knows all the future. U'mimenu levado nidrosh ha'atidot. You want to know the future? There's a person to ask. Who is? Hanavi. Nevi'im, anshei chasidav. There was a ma'arechet, there was a framework through which you could seek out the future. Would be nice today, wouldn't it? Sure would help. We don't seek them out from all these other falsehoods. We should not believe what they say. But if we hear somebody say what the future is going to be, it doesn't matter if it's a soothsayer, a necromancer, or a political prognosticator. Nomar hakol bidei shamayim. You have to say hakol bidei shamayim. Now, by the way, this is not to say you shouldn't make your ishtadlut. I'm not negating. We have responsibilities. But the question is, if I do my responsibilities, what's going to be in the future? Hakol bidei shamayim. That's the Kodesh Baruch Hu's responsibility. Kehu Elohei ha'elohim elyon al kol ha'yachol. That's God's responsibility. I'm skipping a little bit. V'na'amin, and we should believe, shekol haba'ot tiyena kefi sheyitkarev Adam lebodato. What's going to be in the future is whatever will happen when Adam, when man will do his avodah. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu warned us against kosem, ksamim. Okay, he says, v'lo tira mimagid atid, aval minivio tidrosh ve'elav tishama. You should believe Hashem's prophets. And stop worrying when people say, like, and I you know, there's a blog that I follow. It's called the Gold Blog. There's a guy named Jeffrey Goldberg. He's a very, very, very influential and well-respected political prognosticator. And one of the things he says is, you have to have a two-state solution because I don't see any future for Israel in its current state. He says it all the time. And logically, he's correct. I don't also see any future in the way things are going right now. Says Ramban, Tamim Tiyer Mashal Akecha means, of course you don't see a future, because it's not your responsibility to see the future. Your responsibility is to do your responsibility, to follow the word of Hashem. Zedant Unklus. What does it mean? Unklus says, Tamim Tiyer. If you look at Unklus on the Pasuk, you have it. He says, Shleim Tiyer V'dachalta da Hashem Eloha. Shleim Tiyer. Tamim means be pure in Dachalta, Dachila, in your faith of Hashem. Tamim Tiyer. Be complete in your faith of Hashem. Shelo tiyeh chaser b'yirato. That you should not be chaser, lacking in your yirah. Kimo ki tamim, what does tamim mean? Hu hashalem b'davar. Tamimut, tamimut is shleimut. Kimo set tamim. She'en bo mum v'shum chisaron. He says, v'zo mitzvat aseh. The Ramban, you know, we all know there are 613 mitzvot. Rambam lists 613. The Ramban also lists 613 mitzvot. And the Ramban's list is of, he has a list, by the way, of mitzvot the Ramban forgot. He missed out. Because they argue on, they basically agree on like 605. And the Ramban says he missed a couple. It's interesting to note. Anybody know the most famous one for us nowadays that the Ramban says the Ramban missed? Anybody know? Ramban says, Ramban does not list in his Minui HaMitzvot, in his count of the mitzvot, Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Correct. So you should have said it, you know? Rambam doesn't list it. Ramban, the number 7, he says, Rambam, he ain't forgot one. There's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. He says this one, too. They're probably interconnected. There's a mitzvah aseh, the Ramban says. There's a mitzvah aseh to believe, to have pure faith, and to believe and not seek out the future. To do what you're supposed to do and to be shalem in your faith with Hashem. That's a heavy mitzvah.
But isn't that a fundamental? I mean, it all boils down to that. If you have emunah, everything else... The heart is what...
So you used... the words you used are very platitude-y. It's all boils down to that. I mean, you could say that. It's an attribute which is hard to achieve and requires constant work in order to strive for.
But isn't there a difference between believing completely that everything will be okay?
Yeah, that's not the same.
And not seeking out the future.
By the way, God didn't say believe it'll be okay. He didn't promise it'll be okay.
That everything will be how it's supposed to be.
He'll say it'll be Bidei Shamayim.
But there's a difference it's between always, that and not seeking
it's
out
It's not
the
always
future.
What we want it to be.
But aren't those two different things?
What do you mean? Seeking out the future.
Believing that everything's Bidei Shamayim and seeking out the future are two different things. One's an act of reading horoscopes or going into rituals or whatever. And the other is...
So I am modernizing this mitzvah and saying that I think it also includes nowadays this idea of tamimut. Doing things that are counter to Torah values because you think that our future is dependent upon it. And obviously I'm saying this in the context of Israel, but also in the spiritual context. What's going to be in my future? I mean, if anybody here is listening to this from America, so everybody knows this is a Israel-centered thing. So we're speaking about it. How many people do we know are not here, even though they want to be here, because they're afraid of the future? How many people don't make certain religious choices, value choices, even though they know that they should, because they're afraid of the future?
Well, they justify it differently.
But it's all the same. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to make judgments because I'm not. I don't make judgments because all of us were there. Most of us were there. I mean, none of us came at a young age.
Maybe not with living in Israel.
Correct. Exactly. We all do this. We do exactly that. We don't always do the things that we're supposed to do or that we need to do because of this lack of tamimut. And so we say, isn't that essential? Everything, of course, it is. But it's not so simple. It's not so obvious. It's something that you have to strive for. You have something you have to work on. You know, and do it in small areas. Really small areas. To say, no, like, let's, for example, like I was thinking, what are the three big mitzvah of Aseret Yemei Tshuva? Tshuva, Tefillah, Tzedakah. Okay? Tshuva we get, Tefillah we get. Tzedakah, what is not a manifestation of this more than anything? How much can I give this year? Well, you know, our cheshbonot of how much we can give are very much dependent upon how much do I need for the year. Yeah, well, that's what it should be dependent upon. The calculus of what you're supposed to give and what we do give are not always the same. You know what I'm saying? That's a struggle. Okay, it's a struggle for me. It's not always easy when the number on the webpage of the bank account is red and you'd really like it to be black. It's very hard to write yet another check. It's very, very hard to say, you know, my salary's coming, it'll be beseder. That's an element of tumimut also. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to make aliyah to be tamim. To give the tzedakah you know you should give and can give because it'll be there.
Yeah. What about insurance policies?
No, you should have insurance. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein wrote, somebody asked Rabbi Moshe Feinstein that question, isn't it a lack of emunah to take out insurance because we're so insured for basically everything? So Moshe Feinstein said, you should believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave mankind the intuition to develop insurance. To protect yourself. But I would acknowledge that insurance does take away, to some degree, our direct connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Because we're insured for everything. You know what I'm saying? Oh, I wasn't having my car stolen. What am I going to do? Well, you get another one. It's insured. What happens if something happens in the house? Get another one. Health insurance is not like that, by the way. Nobody insures your health. Health insurance is just health pay. You know what I'm saying? But that's not insurance.
Yourself is not believing that everything's
no, fine. Again, I say, you're supposed to do what you're supposed to do. Am I? You're supposed to do your shtadlut. And that doesn't mean...
Another question is, what are you supposed to do?
Whatever the Torah tells you. Whatever the Torah tells you.
The Torah doesn't tell you to take out insurance. I mean, that's something that we've developed and we believe...
The Torah doesn't tell you not to. The Torah tells you to take the proper precautions in order to protect your interests and your family. Why not? You don't have to. You're not...
Expand that to everything.
What?
It's very grey because you can expand that to everything. You're taking the proper precautions...
How is taking out insurance out of in no way? But that's not out against the Torah value. God says, "Give to the poor." So you say, "Well, I really can't right now because I need the money for my family." No. That's against the Torah value. Hashem says, "Live in Eretz Yisrael." I really can't now because I don't know where my parnassus is going to come from, or I'm not. You know what I'm saying? That's not a Torah value. Meaning when the that's exactly what the Torah is saying. Tamim Tiyeh means don't do all these things that God says are not what I want you to do because you need to know the future. Because you need to worry about the future. You do what you're supposed to do. You understand what I'm saying? No, I'm not saying that.
There's plenty of Mepharshim that say you don't have to live in Eretz Yisrael for X, Y, or Z.
When Eretz Yisrael, of course, that's the struggle. When Eretz Yisrael is in contradiction to another Torah value, but how is your fear of the future a Torah value? Yes, if you mamish came and couldn't make a parnasa, then you have the right to leave Eretz Yisrael. Halacha says that. That's a Torah value. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the fear of the unknown.
Right, the people who don't come in the first place.
Because
I haven't met my Bashir, so I'm going to go back. But who says you won't meet
have you been
next
here? And, have you been here? Wait a second. Have you been here and you tried? Have you been here and you have?
I don't know. I mean, there are people that.
Okay, so I'm not judging those people. Again, I'm not judging. This is really. I'm including all of us in this because all of us share in this struggle on whatever level. It's a mitzvah that's saying, like every mitzvah, right? It's not a simple matter to say, oh, I do this mitzvah. No, you know, we don't all do this mitzvah. We all don't do this mitzvah. We all struggle with this mitzvah.
That's why you are showing us these things aren't so bad and
bad. Of course. Correct. And everybody, that's right, you have guidance and you have to, but we don't, that's my point, we don't seek that guidance. We don't search out that guidance. We're like, yeah, I don't know, I just can't do it. You understand what I'm saying? And our goal is to strive for that level of faith. Okay, Ramban has, so he has a whole thing in the Sefer HaMitzvot, and the Ramban says, he says, "Ubemitzvah hazot," in this mitzvah, nistava Avraham Avinu. This mitzvah, Avraham Avinu was commanded, kasher ba lichrod lo brit, velatet lo zera. So in order to see this, of course, since I started with Avraham Avinu, and I'm on an Avraham Avinu kick, so if, as I mentioned, you turn to Breishit, Perek Yud Zayin. Okay, so if you have it, turn to it, and if you don't, we got more Chumashim behind you. So open the Breishit. And the words of the Chumash are powerful, and they're instructive.
Which perek again?
Perek Yud Zayin, and now it's Yud Zayin Aleph. Okay, Perek Yud Zayin Pasuk Aleph. There's a bunch of gray sheet over there if you want. And I'm going to read the Ramban also, so it's worthwhile. It's very beautiful.
There's two different.
Oh, wait. There's more. Yeah. You guys want? Yud Zayin, here, pass it on. You should probably inside. It's where the yellow is. I don't want any made midrash back. I'll let you know. Vayhi Avram, Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Aleph. Vayhi Avram, ben tishim shana v'tesh shanim. Abraham was 99 years old. That's already a statement in and of itself. Why? Because when did Abraham come to Eretz Yisrael? At least 13 years before that. Even more, many years before. I'm not sure the history. Okay? And throughout, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was promising Abraham one thing. A son. And so now he has Yishmael. But Sarai doesn't have a son. And still Avraham Avinu was in his faith. And Avraham Avinu, more than anyone, right, it would be reasonably expected to ask a very simple question. What's going to be? Right, that is the greatness of Avraham Avinu. What's going to be? 99 years old. Vayera Hashem el Avram, Vayomer Elav. God appeared to Avraham and said, Ani El Shaddai, I am Kel Shaddai, Hitalech Lefanai Veheye Tamim. What a loaded pasuk. I am Kel Shaddai, so we want to know, first thing you have to ask is, what is the significance of Kel Shaddai, this name of God? Second thing, Hitalech Lefanai. What is the meaning of the words Hitalech Lefanai? Hitalech Lefanai. That's not just walk before me. How would you say walk before me? Lech lefanai. So what's hitalech lefanai? What's hitalech?
Walked.
What's that? What's hit? What's the hit always? Hitael?
Reflexive.
Hitalech lefanai sounds more like, I'm just saying sounds like, walk yourself before me. Right? You understand what I'm saying, right? Lilabesh means to dress your child. How do you dress yourself? Hitlabesh. I dress myself. Lalechet, I go. Lehitalech? Hitalech? Strange. But even the phrase itself, walk lefanai, walk before me, and then veheye tamim, and you will be pure. And how do you do this? This is the context. You have to know the context of this pasuk. Vetna briti beini ubenecha, and I will do my brit between me and you. Varbe otcha v'mo'od m'od, and I will multiply you greatly. Okay, and Abraham. Okay, and what is this brit that Abraham has to do? Obviously, what's this brit called? It's called brit milah. Okay, you have to do brit milah. So in this context of brit milah, it's very interesting. The midrash that you have there says, like, one second, in order to achieve tmimut, what's tmimut? What did we say? Shlemut. What do you have to do? Walk before me. No, but what's the brit? In order to achieve shlemut, you have to literally cut off a piece of yourself. You have to wound yourself in order to achieve shlemut, tmimut. It's the opposite of what you would think. What do you think? Don't touch yourself. Leave yourself pure. So there's a certain deeper message in this. To achieve tmimut, to achieve wholeness, you have to be missing a part of your what you think is your wholeness, as we'll soon see. Let's stop for a minute. What does it mean? What is this Kel Shakai, we asked? What does it mean, Hitalech Lefanai? Let's look at Rashi. Okay? So all of the Mefarshim struggle with this. What does it mean, Hitalech Lefanai? Rashi says, okay? Kitargumo, Pelach Kadamai. What is Plach? Ana Eflach. Plach? Plach Kadamai? Appease? Rashi says, Hadbeg ba'avodati. Avodah. Serve me. Hitalech levanai, Rashi says, means serve me. Does it sound like Hitalech levanai means serve me? Right? Rashi again is struggling with what we're struggling with. What's the problem with Hitalech levanai? What's the problem with saying you should go before me? There's a theological, ideological problem with it. What's the problem with Hitalech levanai? Right! God leads, God, you tell, you go, and I'll follow you. So what in the world does it mean, Hitalech Levanai? So Rashi, you know, solving this problem, says it doesn't mean literally Hitalech Levanai. It means worship before me. Right? Bow down before me. Look at the Ramban. Okay, Hitalech Levanai. Says the Ramban. Okay. Ramban says, we're gonna start the Ramban on Hitalech Levanai. He says, Lalech biderech asher ore utcha. To go in the path that I will show you. Katam, like it says, Acharei Hashem Elokecha teilchu v'oto tira'u. After Hashem your God, you should go and fear God. Okay? Ki ha-mitzvah le'echoz darko. The mitzvah is to grab on to the way of Hashem. There's only one problem with what Ramban says. What's the problem with what Ramban says? What should Hashem say? Hitalech. Acharei. Right? Meaning, my mind says it's the same thing as Halech Acharai, Halech Lefanai. It doesn't really mean go before me. It means go with me, worship me, follow me. Yeah, he doesn't like it. He's right. It's not good. Why? What's wrong with it, Daniel? What's wrong with it? What bothers you about that?
Because it says what it says.
Right. It says Hitalech Lefanai. So what does it mean, Hitalech Lefanai? To go before me. So in that Chumash, if you pass it back to me, right? Okay, there's a Midrash. The Midrash says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, the Mahay, Rabbi Yochanan says, the Mahay, you have avot domin b'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What would the avot like before HaKadosh Baruch Hu? L'ra'eh shemuhu mehalech, a shepherd who walks, v'tzono mehalechet lefana. And the sheep go before him, meaning the Midrash picks up on this right away. It means God is going. He's like, yeah, you go out ahead. You lead the way. You guys go. You lead. What in the world is Abraham Avinu supposed to do? He's supposed to be leading before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in order to understand this, I want to read the Ramban on this mitzvah. The Ramban, remember, we saw the Ramban in Devarim. We heard that the Ramban says it's a mitzvah taseh of Heye Tamim. Okay, so the Ramban starts on, what is this meaning of El Shaddai? Because Baruch Hu, before he introduces this thing, he says, by the way, my name is Kel Shakai, nice to meet you. And I'd like you to, look, God, Abraham needs to know this name. What does this name mean? By the way, where else, does anybody know, where else do we see this name of Kel Shaddai appear? Okay, where else do we see it? Anybody know? But it, oh, you probably know, but you're afraid to say. Okay, in Shemot, in Parashat Vayera, Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem comes to Moshe after Moshe says, God, you know, I showed up at Paro, and it just didn't work. Why did you send me? Lama zeh shlachtani? Vayera, it says, Hashem says to Abraham, Vayera al Avraham, Yitzhak ve'el Yaakov, be'kel Shakai. I appeared to Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov in this form of Kel Shakai. Ushmi Hashem, and my name, Yud-Heh Vav-Heh, lo nodati lahem. And the Mephashim must figure out, what does it mean, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh versus Kel Shakai? What is Kel Shakai? Listen to what the Ramban says. Look at Ramban on El Shana and Aleph, if you have it. Shnei Shemot, Kol Echad Ta'ar La'atzmo. These words, these two names, each one is a description of God. U'Pirush Kel Takif. The word Kel is Takif, strong. U'Lashon Elei Li Moav. U'Pirush Shaddai, Amar Rashi, Shiyesh dai be'elohuti l'chol beria. There's enough in my godliness, in my dominion, for every creation. U'b'sefer Moreh Nebuchim, the Rambam writes in Moreh Nebuchim, Perush harav, klomar, the Rambam says, She'eno tzarich b'mitzi'uto ma shenimtza. There's a belief that we have, fundamental belief. God doesn't need existence in order to exist. V'lo b'kiyum mitzi'uto. He doesn't need us to exist in order for Him to exist. Ava mitzi'uto taspik b'otzma. Shaddai, El Shaddai. God exists, doesn't need us. Rabbi Abraham, Perusho, Midlashon, Shoded, Kelomar, Menatzech, Meshoded. God is Shoded, strong, powerful, all powerful. He says, so okay, why does God mention this here? I'm on the third paragraph, I'm not going to happen. V'tam lahazkir ataz zeh Hashem. This is what he says. Why mention this now? Kibo ya'asu hanisim, nisim hanistarot latzadikim. God uses the term, the attribute of Kel Shaddai, in order to do nisim nistarot, hidden miracles. L'hatzilim b'mavet nafsham, to save them from death. L'chayotam b'ra'av, to sustain them in their hunger. U'lifdotam b'milchama miyad ocheref, to save them in times of war. K'chol hanisim hana'asim la'avraham u'la'avot. El Shaddai is the God that works when you don't see Him. Is the God that you turn to, and you turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you say, save me, and lightning does not come down from the heavens and save you in a miraculous way. Rather, what happens? Somehow it works out. Somehow the salvation that you were searching for didn't win the lottery, right? But your husband got a job. He got a job, because he said, that's a resume, the boss, and whatever. No. The Kel Shaddai is the God that guides you when you don't see Him. Okay? Ki ein min ha-teva. Listen, really? Shiavo ha-shamayim gishamim bi'itam v'avdeinu elohim. Really? Naturally, you pray for rain and it rains? That's the natural course of events? V'lo shiyu ha-shamayim kebarzel ka'asher nizra b'shana ha-shavit. If you keep Shemitah, that's going to guarantee you that the produce is going to grow double. V'chein kol ha-yi'udim shebetorah. All of these yi'udim, these promises in the Torah. Aval kulam nisim. It's all miracles. U'b'kulam t'natzeach ma'arechet ha-mazalot. And in reality, all of them should follow nature. Ala she'en behem shinui min hado shel olam, ki nisim menasim ha'idei Moshe Rabbeinu. Says, when you got to Yetziat Mitzrayim, then you saw miracles. Then you saw overt hand of God. El Shaddai is not the overt hand of God. Kel Shaddai is the covert, the hidden hand of the miraculous in our daily lives. Says Avraham Avinu, the greatness of Avraham Avinu is saying, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to do. How's it going to work out? I need a miracle. No, you don't need a miracle. You need Yad Hashem in your life. You need Kel Shaddai. You need that level of Tamimut. Okay? So now we'll skip to Hitalech V'Heyei Tamim. What does it mean, V'Heyei Tamim? Ramban. I'm still in the Ramban. You see where, if you see where it is, V'Heyei Tamim. Mitzvah Acheret Od B'inyan Hazeh. There's another mitzvah in this matter. Kitam, like the matter of Tamim tiye im Hashem Elokecha. This is the same tamimut. Acharei azharat Hashem. Lo yimatzei b'cha kosem k'samim. Remember the idea of knowing the future. This is the very idea. V'hanyan v'shteyem. This matter of both of them is. Shiamin b'libo. You should believe in your heart. Ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu levado hu ba'al yecholet batchila u'basof. Kadosh Baruch Hu, he is the only one who is the master of ability from the beginning and the end. Hu hayachol la'asot u'levatel. He is the one, sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes we struggle. But he is the one to know, to make, to create, and to nullify. V'lo yishmu elam ha'onanim v'lakosmim olanachesh. Don't listen to all the prognosticators. V'lo ya'amin shi'avod yirem al kol panim. Shouldn't believe in what they promise. V'yigzor b'libo shakol b'yad elyon ha'elyonim. You have to put into your heart that all is in the hands of elyon ha'elyonim. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes we sit in a place and we struggle from that low place to see Yad Hashem. But that's our struggle. What does it mean? Hitalech lefanai. It's much easier when there's a cloud of glory or there's an Amud Esh guiding you. The cloud of glory, okay, if there was a cloud of glory, then, you know, if God sent each of us an email and said, make Aliyah, here's your teak, and you know, this is the job you're going to have, and this is where you're going to live, and your children will be fine, and everything's going to be solved. Sure, no problem. No, that's not what it is. Hitalech levanai means God says, I've shown you the path. I've told you what to do. Now I'd like you to walk out ahead of me. And that's harder to do. And that's, I think, something that all of us struggle with in a sense to make tshuva. This idea of tshuva is to be truer to what the thing that we're supposed to be, and not the thing that we are because we're afraid of what we'll be. You know, and there's this word that keeps coming to mind, this word of this realm, of going with the flow. You know, and especially I think in our culture, in Western culture is very much about preparedness and readiness and contingency plans. You know, and those are all important things. But when the contingency becomes so overarching that it prevents you, like I said, from doing what it is you're supposed to do, then we've deviated from the proper path. We've deviated from what it is that Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do. And to me, that's one of the meanings of this time. Tshuva, going back, tefillah, calling out to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and tzedakah, of doing what it is you're supposed to do. Being matzdik HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and understanding that we make our ishtadlut, and then we go with the flow. If I sit there, can I sit there for a second, Tammy? I was thinking about this one Friday night. It was recent. Or at one of these, there was a big Bobby. Remember that Kabbalat Shabbat in the shul? Mm-hmm. And it was beautiful. And so I'm sitting there on Friday night, and we get to the Hashem Malach at the end of Kabbalat Shabbat. Totally pshat, not pshat. I'm totally making this up. So if it's not true, that's okay. Shem alach geyut lavesh, lavesh Hashem osit tazar, apti konte bebal timon. Shem will have reigned, he will have done grandeur, he will have done might and good in himself. Echon kisacha meyaz meolam ata. But your seat, your chair is correct from always. Nasu neharot Hashem, nasu neharot kolam. Nisu neharot dochyam. Like rivers they raise Hashem, like rivers they raise their voice, like rivers they raise their destructiveness. Mikolot mayim rabim adirim mishbriyam adir bramarom Hashem. More than the roars of the mighty waters, mightier than the waves of the sea, you are mighty on high, Hashem. And I started to think to myself that Friday night, what in the world does the rivers have anything to do with what we're talking about? Adir Ramah, God is on high, God is awesome, God is terrific, and then all of a sudden, here's the water. Like mi'alamata, nasu neharot Hashem, nasu neharot kolam, yisu neharot achyam. What does that have to do with anything? And I started to think, we were this year we were up in the Golan. We took a couple days with the boys. And we took, I was in Parka Yarden. If you're ever in Parka Yarden, it's a really great place. And there's this maslul that they have. And you can walk, like, in the Yarden. You ever walk in the Yarden? You ever walk in a river? You ever try to walk against the tide of the river? Not such a good idea. And when you try to walk against the tide, right, the one thing they say, if you're ever caught, and where's the lifeguard? Where's the lifeguard, right? They teach you this? What happens if you're caught in an undertow? What are you supposed to do?
Lay back.
What's that?
Lay back and go with.
That's right. People drown not because they're caught. They drown because they lose all of their oxygen trying to fight against the tide, fighting against the flow. And then you're supposed to let it pull you out, and when it lets you go, then you come back up. Except, of course, here's the problem. When you feel the pull of the water pulling you under, who has the sense of mind to calm down, to think straight, and to go with the flow? And I thought to myself, like, how much of life is like that? Like, we're fighting against the tide. We're fighting against the Nahar. And when in reality, though, if you travel with the Nahar, then you do have the ability. When you go, not against the flow, when you go on the flow, you can steer. You can direct yourself to one side of the river or the other. It's not like you just go and you don't have any influence at all. You can direct yourself. You have choice. You have kavana. You have a direction. But when you fight against the naharot, that's when you find yourself drowning. And I found this, I don't know, it's not shot. I totally don't think it's shot in the Tehillim, but it just spoke to me. This idea of tmimut. It's something I think we all, it's so important to strive for. That's what the Rabbi Anapoli of Zusha of Anapoli said. That's the first thing of tshuva. Tamim tiyayim Hashem alokecha. To strive for this idea of tmimut. Of accepting what it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to us. Not trying to figure out the future. But doing what it is we're supposed to do. On our own level. Each on our own level. I'm not supposed to do what that person is supposed to do. I don't expect all of us to run and go, you know, move to Hebron. That's not our responsibility. Each of us has our own obligation to do what it is we're supposed to do. But to not say, well, then what's going to be? But instead to say, I do what I'm supposed to do, and I have trust in El Shaddai, in Kel Shakai, in the hidden hand of Hashem, to then take me down the river and guide me the proper path. And if that's something that we can improve in ourselves during this week, hopefully HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bless us with a year of bracha and hatzlacha, and the ability to see that hidden hand of Hashem throughout everything that happens in our lives. And I think that's a very meaningful message, sitting here in a Beit Avel, as we said, and the comfort that we receive, the aliyah and neshama, is the comfort that an avel can receive, comes in this belief, in this faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the blessings that we have, gave us the loved ones, and the lives that they enjoy. And he also knows what's best for each of us. And he takes. You know, Hashem Natan, Hashem Lakach. And that sense of faith and that sense of trust should give us all a sense of comfort. So Meshua Gemar Chachma Tova, Shabbat Shana and Bracha for all of us and for all of Klal Yisrael.